Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says that God rains down upon the believer and non-believer his blessings. By the way, read the fine print. That will only go for a certain period of time. And then God says, that's it. Man, I blessed your life. You rejected me all along the way. Time's up. Time's up for you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 5, Paul continues to build his case and clarify his terms regarding how the true believer in Christ is changed from the heart. In other words, the new man won't just exhibit an outward transformation, he'll also experience a change from within. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Love from the Heart.
These people, if you read 1 Corinthians, if you went through that study with us, and now in 2 Corinthians, these people had experienced amazing, strange, before Christ lifestyles. But Jesus had set them free. So today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're only in a few verses. It's verses 12 to 15. And we're looking at a message today. If you jot it down, that'd be great. Entitled, Love from the Heart. Love from the Heart. God gives his love from his heart. As Christians now, we are to be giving our love from our hearts. But it's all a new heart that God has given us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12. He says, therefore, we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in hearts. For if we are beside ourselves, says Paul, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you, the Corinthians. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Not much distance traveled in these verses, but pregnant with power, full of doctrine. This is amazing. Paul, again, drops a bomb of truth on the Corinthian believers that had to be like a vitamin B12 shot to them. A people that had come out of the most messed up background, he was, again, stressing to them the power of their salvation and what has happened and what has gone on in their lives. As we get into this, I want you to keep this in mind because in note-taking, the introduction of this would be wise if we went back to 1 Corinthians 4, 15. It's the first place where Paul brings this up. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. He says this, for though you might have 10,000 instructors, a lot of people teaching you Bible truth, could be a small group leader, could be a church that you go from, to the next church you go from, whatever, maybe you'll relocate up and move, plant yourself in another church, maybe it's radio, maybe it's books. Paul says you have had a lot of instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have, the word here, begotten you through the gospel. Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, a lot of people have been your instructors, but I, listen, begot you. I gave birth to you because Paul said he winds up in Corinth, he preaches the gospel, they get saved, and he had a sense of responsibility to them. They came to faith under his ministry. And so he says, you've got basically me as your spiritual father. And Paul says, I take that very seriously. But what I want to drive home to you right now is the word begotten, because it assumes, in a sense, pregnancy. Paul had the gospel in him. And as was the custom of Paul in his mode of operation, he would show up in a place, and what would happen to him? Out of him would flow the gospel. He was pregnant with the Bible. And whenever he got into a town or wherever he was en route somewhere, the gospel would come out of him. And he would give birth to truth because it was in him. And when people heard it and responded, then you could see how, in a sense, that there's a family of God born. Now, maybe you're catching on to the terminology that I'm using. It's very important. The Bible tells us that God is our Father, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that the church is the bride of God. of Christ, and that we who believe in the Lord and have been born again, the Bible says, we are children of God. Do you get that? We're a family. We are a spiritual family that remarkably, for eternity, our spiritual DNA transcends our physical DNA. We all, I should say, most of us have brothers and sisters, but not all of our brothers and sisters are born again believers. Isn't it interesting that in the family of God, we quickly begin to realize that if blood is thicker than water, then spirit is thicker than blood. And many of us have a relationship that's much closer with one another than we might have with actual physical brothers and sisters. That's the work of God. We are a family. Keep in mind this truth, that whatever we've come from, Paul's thrust is now that we have died with Christ, I'll explain that as we get into the study, we are now alive with Christ, and there's been a radical transformation in our lives. So if you're a note taker, get ready, here we go. First thing I want you to look at is our first point regarding love from the heart. It is this: love from the heart answers the heart. Will you mark that down? This is important. He says right here, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf. And what Paul is saying is this, mark it down, answers the heart this way with authenticity. Here's what's happening. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, but everywhere Paul would go, remember the Judaizers, they were following behind him. And when he would leave, they would come along and they would say, and you already know this, he would come along and say, hey, was Paul just here? Yep. Oh, well, listen, we want to tell you the truth about Paul. Did he tell you about grace? Yeah. Did he tell you, let us guess, that you need to be born again? Yeah. Did he tell you you didn't have to be circumcised? Yeah. Did he tell you you didn't have to keep the law to get to heaven? Yeah. Well, that's why we're here. You see, we've come along to straighten you out because Paul polluted you. And Paul's a mess. And Paul is this. And Paul is that. And so when Paul says, I don't need a letter to boast of the ministry, I don't need somebody to recommend us to you guys. The truth is this, that we're speaking the truth because we've lived it and we've experienced it. It's changed our lives. And Paul was speaking the truth, but listen, church, legalism can never let true spirituality exist. Legalism's got to come in and say, well, you know what? Okay, Paul said this, but if you really want to be spiritual, you got to do these things. And they'll give you a list of things to do. And that's not the gospel. Now, to the flesh, if you give me a list of things to do, I feel good about that. There's something about us. We take out our note and we mark it down and check the box, and I feel good about that. Did you do this? Yes, I did. Did you do the other thing? Yes, I did. And with every check we make, there's a little bit of the chest goes out, you know? And we actually get polluted by the very venture that we're hoping to make us spiritual. Authenticity is not like that. Paul is clearly proclaiming this, that we don't need letters. God is the one that promotes. Now listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he had written earlier this very comment, this very truth. He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Watch this, verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You are our epistle written in the hearts, known and read by all men. I love this. Church, watch this. Authenticity, watch. Nobody any longer wants to hear a set of rules and regulations and try to convince them that this is spiritual life. It doesn't work. It's never worked. Well, then how do we know Paul's ministry is true? How do we know what you and I are engaged in is true? This way. If the truth is going out, okay, if this goes out faithfully by the power of the Holy Spirit, it should affect you. Lord willing, by the end of today, you should be affected. Now, please, listen. The Holy Spirit reserves the right to affect us in whatever way he so chooses. Some of you today might be encouraged to continue your walk with God. Some of you, you've stumbled in here today and you've been away from Jesus, and maybe God is going to convict you about getting right and marching on with the Lord. Some of you are here and you're not a Christian. And listen, when he gets our attention as a non-Christian, it kind of often stings. Not always, but it can sting when he gets our attention. It can kind of hurt. Why? Because the mask is knocked off and we realize, oh no, he knows. You know, listen, let's be honest. The book of Romans tells us sometimes that it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Isn't that amazing? Is your life blessed? Isn't the Bible says that God rains down upon the believer and non-believer his blessings. By the way, read the fine print. That will only go for a certain period of time. And then God says, that's it. Man, I blessed your life. You rejected me all along the way. Time's up. Time's up for you. Maybe you're here today and you've had a blessed life. You've had a good life. But you don't know God. I want to encourage you today to remember that verse. It's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. I wonder how many people in that crash in San Francisco, I mean, that should have been an absolute disaster. Did you see, you know what I'm talking about? And how many people, have they confirmed how many dead? Two dead out of how many passengers? 300? It's a miracle. Unbelievable. I'm wondering how many of those people got off the plane saying, God, you're good to me. Happens every day in life. The goodness of God. He's so good. But he wants us to come to know him personally. And our God is authentic. And his love for us is authentic. I can talk about love. I could write a book on love. I can have a tattoo, love. I could have all these things that are just expressions. But unless it's active in my mouth, my hands, my feet, love's a verb. If we keep telling people, oh, I love you, and don't do anything about it, it means zero. It's nothing. As a church, as a family, I'm to love you. You're to love me. We're to be loving each other. But so much so that for God so loved the world, that's even unbelievers. We're supposed to be loving God haters. We're supposed to be loving the haters of us. Again, Seattle, this weekend, what happened? Christians got beat up because they had a different view. And it's on YouTube, it's on the web, it's everything. They're standing there, and people who held a different view, an antichrist view, began to just absolute beat up the Christians. Police had to come to their rescue. Why, I would hope, I don't know these Christians that were up there, I'm assuming that they're Christians and that they did what they did out of love. Why would we care about the lost? Think about it. Why would we care? Why would we love them? How can we love people we don't know? I've got to tell you that before I was a Christian, I loved my mom and dad. I loved my brother. I loved my sister. I loved my dog. But that's about it. I certainly loved me at the top of the food chain. And then, isn't it amazing, as you become a Christian, God changes that in your life. It's unexplainable. If you're not a Christian today, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you start to love people you don't even know. And how does that manifest? You're not standing in line at Albertsons and you look at somebody, and I can't explain it, but you look at somebody and your heart just starts to melt. And it's like, oh my gosh, what? Oh my gosh, what? I've got to tell them about Amway. That doesn't happen. Oh, I've got to tell them about my... That doesn't happen. You don't even know who they are, and you've got to tell them about Jesus. It's the weirdest thing. Why? Because what you've experienced as a Christian is the authentic love of God. And you won't settle for anything else. And God works that out of your life. It's authentic. Now watch this. Paul's proof of his ministry, he didn't have to get from anybody writing him a letter of approval. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, I don't need a letter from you guys. I don't need a letter from anybody. And I don't need a letter from these people who are against the ministry. Why? What made him so bold? Christian, listen. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because you're all going to raise your hand anyway. For those of us who are Christians, that would be all of us, right? It's not proof that we're a Christian because we were baptized at the XYZ church. It's not proof of us being Christians because we have a certificate of membership or we've tithed or this. It's not that. Do you understand that? Well, I've got a membership to our denomination. That means zero. Can you imagine? Hi, God. Here, just like going to Costco. There you go. Whoa! What? Nope, not going to happen. No. The fact of the matter is, the truth of you being a Christian is how others have been affected by your ministry life. See, I'm not in the ministry. Yes, you are. If you're a Christian, you're in the ministry. And listen, could be children, could be parents, could be whoever. How have you affected? That's the proof. You don't need a letter from Liberty University, or you don't need a letter from Biola. Listen, as a Christian, are you affecting other people and helping them along in their walk with God? That is the living epistle. That's what's known and read by all men. When people look at your influence upon others, as those others go out, people who look at them say, man, I want to be a Christian. Do you hear what I'm saying? Paul's proof was those who he ministered to. They were growing. They were making a difference. They were sharing their faith. And that is commendable. Now listen, watch this. I'm going to give you this passage of scripture, and I'm giving it to me. If God uses it to speak to you, then that's awesome. Now look, there's a list of things given here that I'm guilty of. And God used this to convict me, to bring me to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Some of these things don't apply, but maybe it's different for you. Are you ready? Keep in mind, as we conclude with the verse here in a moment, what God's motive and authenticity is. Far too many people are trying to justify their life by not coming to Christ, by saying, oh, you Christians believe in a God who just wants to fry me and put me into hell and all this stuff. And they're just blabbing and talking and whining, and they don't even know the very character of God. Are you with me? Because I'm going to read this. I'm going to insert a few things. And if I were God, I wouldn't conclude this portion of Scripture like God concludes it. But he does. 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous, circle the word unrighteous, we could say the word today unchanged. This is important. Do you not know that those who have not been changed, the unchanged, the unrighteous, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Let's leave the verse up on the screen. Do not be deceived. Stop right there. The Bible warns us we can be deceived. We have to watch out. Do you not know that the unchanged or the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Think now. Ask yourself this question. Does God want people to be changed? Yes. People, we don't like change. We don't like it. We like a pattern, right? You introduce change, oh gosh. We're working on, we've had this carpet for I think 10 years. We thought it would last 6 months. It's all stained. Look at this. It's got sin marks all over it, right? Look at this. I know the day we change it, people are going to go, well, there's something wrong here. I don't know if I can come here anymore. Why? That's the carpet. We don't like change, but God demands change. He requires change. And his desire, listen, his desire is for us to go from unrighteous to righteous. How does someone or something go from being unrighteous to righteous? It's impossible. Because you start out below ground, right? You start out lower than zero. How can unrighteous ever become clean? You have nothing to work with. Unless someone interjects something from the outside which is altogether righteous. Are you with me? That's the gospel. So watch this. He says, neither fornicators. You know what that is? Fornicator is someone, single people having sex or sexual immorality among single people. Idol worshipers. Do we know what that is? Four of us do. Listen, I got busted by God last night as an idol worshiper. I'm driving down the 5 freeway, and going right past me was a BMW X6. I think it's called an X6. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You pagans. It's such a handsome car. It's not beautiful. It's bigger than that. It's handsome. And it's beefy looking, and it goes by, and I'm just like driving, and oh, look! Look at that! And so I'm driving. I don't know. I can't tell you for like 20 minutes. I don't know where I was driving. I was like, looking at that thing. And the Lord gets the whole, Jack, I died to free you from that. Yes, God. Let's keep reading. Adulterers. That's when two people come together and at least one of them's married. homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, watch this, covetous. Are you thinking like, oh man. Drunkards, revilers, radical, mean party people. Mean, they're mean though. They're not only party people, they're mean at it. Extortioners. This is tough. IRS, you know the people that snoop on you and listen to everything you do and try to rip you off? Giving to them what is required. Yeah, I'm not going to give them that. Well, you better give them that, or else they'll come take it. Don't hold back. Wow. Don't move the decimal point around. He says, we'll inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to make it. And you say, oh my gosh. Well, then who can go to heaven? Oh, great. All those people. I'm in that list there. Don't look at me like that. You're in that list. I can't believe. Oh, stop it. You're in there. You say, I haven't done any of those things. Jesus said, if you look at someone and want them, he says, you're guilty. We're all guilty. What do we do? Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Listen, but you were washed. Yes. You know how awesome that is for your conscience? You know how wonderful it is for a good night's sleep? You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, my goodness. I don't know about you, but that makes me very, very happy. This is my Jesus. This is my God who loves us to provide the way that you and I can be authentically saved with him forever. Secondly, conviction. Listen, he answers the heart with conviction that you may have an answer to those or for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. Simply this, conviction means this, the truth of knowing that you have been forgiven and set free, Corinthians or Californians or Calvary Chapelites. The truth of you being freed gives you conviction that wells up within you, not in a religious, snobby sense, but in a sense that drives you to reach other people in love, to reach out to them. Again, going back to that fiery crash in San Francisco this weekend, would you, I'm assuming, we'll have to wait to see what happens with those that survived, I would assume that once it was realized, I'm alive. This plane's on fire. I would assume that you try to get out as many people as possible. Don't you think? Don't you think the flight attendants are trained to do that? If flight attendants are trained to get people out of a burning airplane, don't you think Christians should be trained to get people out of a burning world? And you go from aisle to aisle. Come on, let's go. Can you imagine somebody saying, hey, stop quenching my style. Don't tell me what to do. The plane's on fire. I'll determine if the plane's on fire or not.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Love from the Heart. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 12 through 15, where Paul explains how the true believer in Christ is changed from the inside out. Love from the Heart. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you signed up for Pastor Jack's weekly devotionals? They're called Real Life Devotions. You'll find a new Real Life Devotion in your inbox every Monday. Real Radio listeners who subscribe to Real Life Devotions really appreciate them, and they're letting Pastor Jack know. Here's what one subscriber said. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for the Real Life Devotions that remind us and encourage us to make a conscious effort to be ready for the Lord's return every day. Pray it will happen in the very near future. God bless you, Patty. Well, thanks to you, Patty, and yes, indeed, may his return be soon. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you need to get in touch with us by phone, our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.